Well, I have to say how privileged it is to be here this morning. I have so many fantastic memories of growing up at Central United Church. The first memory that I can think of here is going down in between services and going downstairs and seeing my dad and grabbing his hand. And a couple seconds later, Mr. Seeley looks down and says, "Well, hello, little girl." And then I realized that is not my daddy's hand. I remember going to Whistler with Sharon and Deb in the youth group, being a part of Explorers with Mrs. Dines and Mrs. McDougall, Sunday school kickoff where we met at Crosby, and we would come down the street and parade down the street with our ribboned bikes, and we'd have helium balloons, and we'd come into the church, and it didn't matter if we were in the middle of prayer, or if the minister was preaching, or if they were singing a song. If that balloon popped, we would all shout, "Praise the Lord!" Remember coffee hour in between the services, and it was always fun. I loved the sugar cubes. We had variety shows throughout the year, and Liz and Andrea Johnson, Nicole and I, we did a lip sync to Huey Lewis in the news. Sharon ringing those church bells, and I was wondering, what qualifications do I need to be able to do something like that? I remember Judy Girard, and she taught our junior high group, and one of those games put my brother into isolation in the hospital. And if you ever see her, you can ask her about that. I remember my brother Brent, and he was outside and throwing his keys, and he got his keys stuck on the roof of the church, and my parents were away, thank goodness, that Sunday. And he managed to climb onto the top of the roof, but he had no way to get down. And so Bill Thomas, he called the fire department. And they were absolutely not impressed. I have so many great memories here at Central. But in all of those memories, Central United Church encouraged me and taught me so many things. I was encouraged to always get involved, whether it was junior choir, the children's plays, Unionville Festival. We were always encouraged to get involved. There was one time, Betty Thomas asked Tyler and I if we would sing for the senior choir. The senior choir. And we sat right there in that pew, and we sang something about Peter, Do You Love Me? And right when the senior choir stood up, and we stood up, and we were singing the verses, and the choir was singing the chorus, and it got time to sing the verse, and Tyler and I stood up, and Tyler refused to sing. And I was singing, and I was looking at him, and while the choir was singing the chorus, I was like, "Tyler, you gotta sing. You gotta sing, Ty." And he's like, "I don't want to." And I was so scared in between services. Oh, did Betty give it to us? She told us, "This is a privilege. No one gets to sing with the senior choir." And so it came time for second service. You know what he did? He didn't even stand up. I don't know if you know what it's like to sing and not cry. And while the choir was singing the chorus, I'm like, "Tyler, stand up, man. Stand up." And he's like, "I don't want to." That was not actually a good memory. I was taught to get involved. I was taught to get involved even when I didn't want to. And they made up some word called commitment. And so it was in the second service that we took care of the toddlers in the toddler room because my parents had to sing in that special senior choir. And I want to thank whoever was responsible for stocking that toddler room with Ariel root cookies. And I apologize for the fact that you had to get a new box every week. I was taught to make the best of moments and to find positives in the moments when I had no choice but to get involved. My mom, she would take Tyler and I over to Union Villa to sing with hymn singing, and we would sing hymns to the seniors living at Union Villa. And so Tyler and I, we made the best of the moment, and we were the page turners. We helped everybody turn the pages. And I don't know why, but there is this one man, and he was blind. And I thought it was really important that he was always on the right page. And so I always made sure that he was on the right page. If you can't see, at least you can sing knowing that you're on the right page. I was taught that I was important. I was taught that I could be used. I remember when I was too young to be a part of the children's play. I was with Betty Thomas, would play the music, and Jerry Seeley, she'd be the one with the play script in front of her. And she would sing the songs with us, and she would do the actions, and she would give out the lines. And I was the page turner. I got to turn the page for her, and I thought I had an important job. And then one day the children's play got to go to Parkview Public School, and I was in kindergarten, and I went to Parkview Public School, and I was so excited because all these famous children were coming to my school to be a part of the children's play. And so I was outside before school started, and I was in the schoolyard. And Mary Lynn Seeley, she came and she got me. She said, "Megan, what are you doing here? The church is doing the children's play in the school today." And I'm like, "I know, I am so excited." She's like, "Megan, my mom is looking for you. You need to go into the gym because you've got to turn the pages." And I turned to my friends and I said, "Guys, I got to go. I have an important job to do." But most of all, I was taught in grade 7, and it was in grade 7 that my eyes were open to my possibilities. I don't know if you know this, but I belong to a family full of extroverts. They love to tell stories. They love to talk. And we'd be at the dinner table, and everybody's sharing their stories, and it was a competition to get your story in. And I am not as extroverted as the rest of them. And I never got to tell my story. I would start. But in my family, I guess interrupting was acceptable. And they were constantly interrupting me, and I would never, ever get to finish my story. And sometimes I'd get so angry, I'd have to go to my room and think about what I've done. But there was one day where I was sitting in a pew, and Reverend David Reeve was up over there, and he was preaching. And as he was preaching, I was looking around, and everyone was listening. And no one was interrupting him. And no one was allowed to leave. And everyone just had to sit and listen. And it was that day, that very day, that I looked up and I realized, that is exactly what I want to do when I grow up. And so it is this morning. I have learned that even if I go past my 20 minutes, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. But the most important thing that I was taught here at Central United Church was Jesus Christ. It was here that I learned about the life that Christ could give me if I chose to follow him. But also I learned that in believing in Jesus, it's more than just believing in Jesus, but it's also about doing something. It's also about action. It was about doing something because I had faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. You taught me exactly what James was talking about that we read this morning. What is the point of faith when you have no action? Faith and action, they go together. And that's what I learned here. That's what you taught me. And that is what Scripture teaches us. When we read right from Genesis to Revelation, we read about men and women who not only had faith, but they put their faith into action. And as a result of their action, they changed the world. And they didn't know that they were changing the world at the time. They only knew what was in front of them, but because they put their faith into action, they changed their world, and God recorded it for us to read. Jesus picked 12 ordinary men, and he said to them in John 14:12, he said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work that I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I am going to my Father." And after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples took their faith and they put it into action and they continued the work of Jesus. And it's because of their faith, it's because of their action that we're here this morning. They had no idea what impact they were going to make, but by their willingness to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, we are here this morning being able, given the opportunity, to also continue the good news of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have faith in action? Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will do the work that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." Faith in action is to live our lives the way Jesus lived his life. Faith in action is to discover the love of Jesus and then to offer that same love to each and every person that crosses our path. Faith and action, they go hand in hand. And there are two things that I've learned and there's two things that I know. The first is, we cannot make a difference in this world. We cannot make a difference in this community. We cannot make a difference in this church. We cannot make a difference in each other's lives unless we're willing to put our faith into action. You taught me that. And because you taught me that, I have learned this. I have discovered that you and I will never experience our faith. We will never experience our faith unless we are willing to put our faith into action. Until we allow ourselves to be used by God, until we learn what it means to love like Jesus loved, and then we love like Jesus loved, until we put our faith into action, we will never, ever experience our faith. Jesus says in John 15:10-12, he says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy will be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." And so, because I was given a fantastic foundation in my childhood, I've had this opportunity to live out my faith, to put my faith into action, to experience Jesus in my own life. And I've been given an incredible life, and I want to thank you for the foundation that you have given me. So 4 years ago, my husband Travis and I, we decided to continue to put our faith into action and to move to the Dominican Republic. We went on our own. We really had no idea what we were going to do. And we just decided, we knew that we were going to go to a village and work in a village called Carabayu and Village Ascension. But that's all that we really knew. We really wanted to work hard and do all we can to bring the people in this community out of their poverty. So we went down, and it's been an incredible journey. We focus on education, trying hard to do everything we can to keep everyone in school. We now have almost all the children in the village going to school. Everyone's realizing the importance of education. And we've even been able to start a university program. And we're starting to send students in the community to university. Other problems in the village are transportation. Carabayu is in the middle of nowhere. You have to drive 15 minutes to the cane field to be able to get to Carabayu. And it's the most beautiful drive that you can possibly make. But roads are a problem. And as a result, it's transportation that keeps the people in this village in their poverty, because they can't afford to leave and they can't afford to come back, and nobody really wants to go there. As well, documentation is a problem. In this village, 50% of the people in the village are Dominicans, but the other 50% are Haitians. And the majority of them are illegal, or they were born in the Dominican, but because their parents were illegal, they weren't given any type of documentation. They weren't given a birth certificate. And therefore, they're considered stateless. No country to own them. And I couldn't even imagine what that was like, what that would be like. But children who are growing up in poverty, to know that their children are going to grow up in poverty because they don't have a right to an education past grade 8. They don't have a right to work anywhere in the entire world. They don't have a right to the health care. They don't have a right to police protection. They live in danger of getting deported to a country that's also going to deport them because they don't belong anywhere. And so we work hard to be able to document all the children. And this past year, God has given us the opportunity, and we have been able to give 172 children Dominican birth certificates. And they're given all rights and privileges now of being a Dominican. And we're so excited, we can't believe that we actually get to be a part of this. What I've learned is that the gospel of Jesus is universal. What I've learned living in the Dominican, what I've learned working amongst an amazing group of people, is that the words of Jesus are universal. They cross all boundaries. They cross all races. Whether you're rich, poor, educated or not, the words of Jesus apply to you. There's this boy, and his name is Wilson. And, well, Wilson was born in Caribayu. He grew up in Caribayu. And he just has a hard life. He doesn't have an education, and he's grumpy. He's just always negative. And so I would see him, and I'd say, Wilson, how are you doing? And he'd say, Megan, I'm not good. I'm not good. I just hate it. I just hate everything. He's a depressed boy. And I'd say, Wilson, like, you know, we got to do something about this, man. We got to find a way. And he says, I don't know, Megan. It's just really hard. I just don't know what to do. And every time I'd see him, it was always the same thing. Things are bad, Megan. Things are bad. Things aren't good for me. Now, Wilson was a man who just looked after himself. He only took care of himself. And the one thing that I've learned in Caribayu is people don't generally like people who only take care of themselves. This is a community that likes to take care of each other. And when you only take care of yourself, you're left alone to only take care of yourself. So I said to Wilson, I sat down with him and I said to him, you know, Wilson, Jesus says in John, he says, the joy in me will be complete in you if you obey my commands. And this is what I command, that you love each other as I've loved you. You know, Wilson, you've been trying it on your own. You've been doing this on your own and it's not working out for you. What if you tried Jesus? What if you tried Jesus' word? How about for the next month, do an experiment. And instead of only thinking of yourself, and it's hard because he has nothing, but instead of only thinking about yourself, think about the needs around you. Think about how you can take care of the people around you. Just do an experiment, just for a month. Just try, Wilson. So a month later, I run into Wilson again. I go, Wilson, how are you doing? And he's like, you know, I'm doing great. It's amazing. I went home, heard what you said. I went home and I just thought, all right, I'm going to help people. I'm going to see if this Jesus thing actually works. And so I started helping people. If somebody needs something moved, I would move that. If somebody needed something done, I would just help them done. And you know what's happened? In my community, when somebody has extra food, they give it to me. I have been able to eat every day this month. And he says, you know, when I need to get to Montiano, which is a town that's close by but really far away, some moto guy will just stop and give me a ride. Megan, what I'm learning is when I start loving people, people start loving me. It's amazing. And you know what? The biggest miracle of all this? Somebody heard that there was a restaurant looking for somebody to help clean the restaurant. And I got a job. And I'm just like, wow. I didn't know if it was going to work. But you know, the gospel of Jesus is universal. You taught me that when I put my faith into action, that I'm going to see amazing things, that I'm going to see God do amazing things. And I got to tell you, I have seen God do incredible things, and I want to thank you for teaching me at a young age the importance, not just the importance of Jesus Christ, not just believing in Jesus Christ, but doing something with that, being able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through love and through action. I want to thank you, and I want to congratulate you for 175 years, and I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of this morning. God bless you.